Our first lesson for this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. The beginning of the Galilean ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and then skipping down to verses 44 through 46. And it's Jesus telling parables. He put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has. He sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." This is the word of the Lord. As we heard in our first scripture lesson, Jesus, when he began his preaching, his ministry, he went around talking about the kingdom of God. He said, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And so he began to preach the kingdom of God. Sometimes we think it's all about the church, but it's not about the church. It's about the kingdom. The church is the means to the end. The end is the kingdom, not the other way around. When Jesus began to preach this kingdom of God, people had their own ideas of what he meant. They thought he was coming to start a revolution. A revolution that would overthrow the Romans and establish the new kingdom of Israel, one that would be powerful and glorious and mighty, like the one during the times of King David. And because they thought that, you had all these different people trying to put their political agenda on Jesus. But Jesus would resist. He would not take on their ideas of what the revolution should look like. For indeed, the kingdom of God is a revolutionary movement. But it's not of this kingdom. When Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" That's what you're being accused of. And he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would be fighting right now." But his kingdom was a different kingdom, not of this world, not of the ways of this world. And he proved that by allowing himself to be crucified. A different value system, a different revolution, but a revolution that we are called to join in with. When Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, he usually used parables, stories, everyday common occurrences that he could use that said the kingdom of God is like this. And that's what we read about today. We read 4 parables, and they were clumped together in twos and pairs because each pair kind of shared the same similarities. The first one was the mustard seed that begins with this tiny seed, but it grows into this big bush. The other was the yeast that was put in the flour, and the flour expanded, becoming the dough that became bread. The obvious interpretation to these is that the kingdom of God starts very small, but it grows into something big. But I think there might be even more hidden into this parable than just that. The mustard seed is not the smallest seed. It doesn't grow into this mighty tree or either. The kingdoms, the mighty kingdoms of that day, they were described as the mighty, the strong oak tree, the tall cedar tree, symbols of strength, stability, power. But Jesus doesn't go that way. He says the kingdom's like this mustard seed. People were careful where they planted their mustard seeds, because it indeed would grow into a big shrub. And if you were not careful, it could overtake your garden. So you wanted to be careful where you planted it. Something that appeared very innocent enough could soon expand into much bigger than anyone imagined. The same with the yeast. A little bit of yeast. Well, on that day, yeast was considered corruption. The saying, a little yeast leavens the whole loaf, would be kind of like what we say today when one apple spoils the entire barrel. The yeast was like a rust or a virus that permeates the flour. And I think that's true, but it was there to expose the corruption that was in the world. The translation is that the yeast was mixed in with the dough. But there's kind of implied in there that it was hidden inside. That this was something that was hidden, that the kingdom of God is hidden within society. And it's while it's in there that it begins to expand and to grow, and it turns the tasteless yeast flour into the joyous bread of life. These two parables, small becomes large, insignificant becomes significant. Then there's the two parables of the treasure hidden in the field and the most valuable, the finest of pearls. And again, the interpretation is pretty easy to see. The kingdom of God is something that is very valuable. That it is, it's worth giving up all that you have in order to obtain it. The interesting thing about these two parables, in the first one, the man who stumbles upon the treasure, he's not looking for it. He just happens to find it. In the other one, it was the pearl merchant. He's actively seeking and looking and hunting for this pearl of great value. Perhaps this describes us, the two of these. One of the two describes us. Perhaps we weren't looking for God. We weren't looking for God's kingdom. But we happened to stumble across it. And when we did, we saw what valuable thing this was, and we wanted it. And so we gave all that we had, or we're willing to give all that we have to obtain it. Or perhaps others of us are like the ones that have grown up in the church, always hearing about Jesus, hearing about the kingdom of God. And it finally occurs to us one day that, hey, it's here. It's right here. And we're willing to do whatever it takes to obtain that kingdom. I want to tell you a story, true story. When the Soviet Union collapsed and all these countries started to break off, and many of them started to have a democratic form of government. The Ukraine also went that direction, but it did the democratic reforms at a snail's pace, very slow. In fact, in 2004, the ruling party was pretty much the same old people. But there was one man, Viktor Yushchenko, something like that, decided to run against the powers that be. And the powers that be saw him as such a threat that he was poisoned, almost died. But he stayed in the race. And the exit poll showed that he won by 10 points, you know, 10% greater votes than the ruling party. But the corrupt nature of the ruling party could not allow that to happen, so they did their corruption. And they were announcing on state TV that Yushchenko actually lost. What they didn't count on was Natalie Dmytryk. Natalie was, as the state TV was broadcasting the return, saying that Yushchenko lost. There in the bottom of the screen, the right-hand side, was this little box. And in that box was Natalie, and she was doing the sign language of what was being said. But she also said to my deaf citizens of the Ukraine, "They are lying to you. I'm ashamed that I have to tell you what they're saying. But Yushchenko actually won." And the deaf community responded by getting the word out to others of what had happened. And that emboldened some of the journalists to stop giving the party line and to tell the truth. And within a few weeks, about a million people descended upon the capital city, demanding a new election. It was called the Orange Revolution. This Orange Revolution grew to such a fevered pitch that the government had to give in. And they did have a new election. And Yushchenko won that one. Mustard seed, yeast, the small box at the bottom right corner of the screen. The kingdom of God is like this. We are that small screen telling the truth to the lies of the world. The world wants to tell us that the ones that are blessed are the rich, the powerful, the beautiful. Whereas we who are citizens of the kingdom, we who are part of the revolution of the kingdom of God, we're saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn, those that are weak, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are pure in heart, merciful, peacemakers, and even the ones who are persecuted. These are the ones that are blessed. The world is trying to tell us that it's all about you. Become self-absorbed. Get what you want. It's all about fulfilling yourself. But the little screen says, no, it's about giving yourself away. Loving others, caring for others. Looking out for the little guy, the ones that are considered least in society. This is the message of the kingdom. And it's not this huge, big oak tree or cedar tree. It's a bush. It's flour that has yeast mixed in it that's becoming, rising and expanding into the dough. It becomes bread. We are called to be part of this kingdom. Jesus picked a few people to be his disciples, to learn from him, to be trained by him, and then to be sent by him to be that mustard seed, to be that yeast, to be that small screen. The call for us is to become disciples. Disciples that see the value of the kingdom. That it's so valuable that we'll give up everything else to be part of it. This doesn't sound like the church that I see in the United States today, unfortunately. But that doesn't mean we can't become that. We can become that voice that speaks truth to power. That speaks truth to the lies that are being spread of what brings purpose and meaning to our lives. So the invitation is there to join the movement. I'll give you a moment to think on that, to pray on that before we sing our next hymn.